My name is James Rilling, and I'm a professor in the Department of Psychology and the Department of Psychiatry and Behavioral Sciences at Emory University. I'm also the director of the Laboratory for Darwinian Neuroscience. I'm married and the father of two children. I conduct research on the biology of fatherhood, and I teach an undergraduate course about fatherhood at Emory. I've reached a point in my career where I feel that I know enough about the topic that it was worth writing a book about the evolution and biology of fatherhood. The result of that process is my new book entitled Father Nature: The Science of Human Paternal Potential. I'm going to share with you five of the key insights from my book. Xiao Cheng was born in southwest China's Sichuan province with twisted arms and legs and a hunched back that prevented him from walking. At age three, his parents separated, and his father, Yu Sukang, decided to raise him alone. The only school that would accept his son and accommodate his handicap was nearly 5 miles away and inaccessible by public transportation. But Sukang was determined for his son to have an education. He would wake up at 5 a.m. to prepare Cheng's lunch and then carry him on his back to school. He would then walk back home to go to work to earn the money needed to provide for the two of them, only to later retrieve his son from school and carry him home again. In all, he traveled almost 20 miles each day to provide Cheng with an education. Now contrast this devoted human father with fathers of the primate species that is most closely related to us, the chimpanzee. Adult males aggressively compete for dominance and for the opportunity to mate with as many females as possible. They make war with neighboring communities of chimps and rarely care for their young. In fact, they occasionally kill infants sired by other males. Insight number one. Among our closest primate relatives, human males are unique in their degree of involvement in raising their offspring. In about 95% of mammals, including most primates, adult males do not provide any significant parental care. Instead, care is provided by the mother, and males use their energy to pursue mating opportunities rather than parent. This is also true among our closest living relatives, among the primates, chimpanzees and bonobos. Therefore, we think that our capacity for paternal caregiving newly evolved during human evolution. But why did this happen? No one knows for sure because we can't go back in time, but I suspect there were at least four important factors. First, there was a need. In species where males do provide care, it's usually because the offspring will not survive with maternal care alone. When chimpanzee offspring are weaned by their mother, they can already forage for themselves and provide all the calories they need to survive. This contrasts sharply with what we find for human children who live as hunter-gatherers in the way that our ancestors did. In part, because of the energetic requirements of our massive brains, human children are not self-sufficient after weaning and continue to need provisioning. Human fathers often help with provisioning. It's a major commitment since those children typically don't produce as many calories as they consume until about age 20. Some of you parents may be thinking the dependency lasts even longer in today's world. So where did all the calories to build the massive human brain come from? Many anthropologists believe it came from our ancestors moving into a new ecological niche on the African savanna that provided an opportunity to hunt and scavenge meat from large mammals. Indeed, in modern-day hunter-gatherer societies, men spend much of their time hunting, and they share the meat they obtain with their family and beyond. Another important ingredient for paternal care is paternity certainty. Across the animal kingdom, males are more likely to provide parental care when their probability of paternity is high, when it is likely that they are the father. There are indications that at some point in human evolution, our species became more monogamous, which helped provide males with paternity certainty. Beyond provisioning, fathers have the potential to carry, hold, feed, clean, nurture, and play with their children, and they do so in many human societies, although the extent of that involvement is quite variable and never normatively matches the degree of maternal involvement. Fathers often seem to be part of a team of allomothers that help the mother with direct infant and child caregiving. The result of all this provisioning and allomaternal support is that human mothers are able to wean their infants much earlier than great ape mothers, which has the advantage of shortening maternal interbirth intervals and increasing human fertility. Part of our species' success stems from having outbred other primates. Insight number two. The care that fathers provide matters for child development. The research shows that children with positively engaged fathers tend to have better developmental outcomes. Children do best when their fathers are warm, nurturing, sensitive and responsive, and if they set and enforce appropriate limits. Children with such fathers tend to have better mental health, fewer behavioral problems, they do better in school, and they have more friends. That doesn't mean that a child can't do well without an engaged father, only that the odds improve. It's probably no coincidence that most of this research has been done in modern Western societies where many couples live as isolated nuclear families apart from their relatives, resulting in fathers often becoming the most available and the most important helper. But how and why does paternal involvement help children? For starters, good fathers seem to help children learn how to regulate their negative emotions. This may be through modeling the behavior, through explicit teaching, or through rough and tumble play, which has myriad benefits for children's psychosocial development. Many fathers also gravitate towards the role of what the developmental psychologist Daniel Paquette has labeled activating their children. That is, they tend to supervise and encourage their children's exploration of the world outside the home. They help teach children that the novelty, unpredictability, and competition they encounter in the world are not something to fear, but rather something to embrace as an opportunity for growth and success. Mothers and other caregivers can also activate children and help them learn to regulate their emotions. It's just that fathers are often drawn to these roles. Insight number three. The physiology of men was modified during human evolution to endow them with their paternal potential. A lot of men like the idea of having high testosterone, but it's a double-edged sword. Testosterone can help motivate the pursuit of mates and social status, and it can support certain aspects of paternal caregiving, such as provisioning, when it requires intense aerobic or muscular exercise. However, it interferes with sensitive and nurturing care of infants, and it siphons energy from maintenance, suppressing the immune system and accelerating aging. So it makes sense that men experience a decline in testosterone when they become involved fathers. Among fathers with infants, those with lower testosterone pay more attention to their infants, affectionately touch them more often, and are more involved with their instrumental care. Despite these lower baseline levels, testosterone spikes in response to infant crying, which may be a mechanism to prepare fathers to defend their infant if needed. There's also emerging evidence that new fathers experience increases in another hormone you may be familiar with, called oxytocin. We think of oxytocin as a maternal hormone, but we now know it plays an important role in father-infant bonding as well. While mothers with high oxytocin levels tend to be more affectionate with their infants, fathers with high levels of oxytocin tend to physically stimulate their infants more. If you give fathers of infants or young children extra oxytocin through intranasal administration, they touch their infants more and play with them more in a sensitive and challenging manner. Oxytocin appears to be doing double duty, since the same oxytocin that helps fathers bond with their infant also helps them bond with their partner. In fact, intranasal oxytocin has been shown to increase men's attraction to their partner, to improve verbal and nonverbal communication with their partner, and perhaps even decrease their interest in extra-pair mates. For these hormones to affect paternal behavior, they of course need to act in the brain. The neural circuitry involved in paternal behavior appears similar to that responsible for maternal behavior. This includes an ancient subcortical motivational system that relies on dopamine and helps make us find our offspring rewarding and want to take care of them. There are also a series of cortical systems that are involved in empathy that help us to understand our offspring's emotions, intentions, thoughts, and needs. Finally, our prefrontal cortex helps us keep our negative emotions in check, such as frustration and anxiety, so we can be better parents. In animal models, new fathers experience neurobiological changes that apparently tune their brains up for parental behavior. Neurobiological changes in new human fathers are also being described just now for the first time. Insight number 4. Paternal behavior is highly variable both within and across human societies and depends on an array of environmental factors in addition to the biological ones discussed previously. These include developmental influences when fathers were boys, such as paternal role models and the safety of their environment. Current familial influences such as maternal employment, maternal encouragement of paternal involvement, paternity certainty, and the availability of other allomothers. Social structural influences, such as population sex ratios, the availability of paid paternity leave, and prison reform. And finally, sociopolitical and cultural influences. Among modern nation-states, the qualities of the ideal traditional father are remarkably consistent across nations. Rather than warm and nurturing, traditional fathers in many nations were expected to be stern, authoritarian, and emotionally distant providers. However, another highly consistent trend across nations is that modern fathers are moving away from this traditional ideal toward one characterized by greater warmth and involvement. Overall, the research suggests that strategies to increase positive paternal involvement should include efforts to make neighborhoods safer, provide men with more job opportunities, paid paternity leave, reduce prison sentences for nonviolent, victimless crimes, and educating young people about the importance of positive paternal involvement. Insight number 5. Although children get a lot from positively engaged fathers, fathers also get a lot back from those children. For example, having children is associated with increased longevity and slower brain and cognitive aging. In interviews I conducted with fathers from the Atlanta area, they mentioned several rewards of fatherhood. Many fathers enjoy teaching their children skills and values and imparting knowledge to them. Many also enjoy witnessing the apparent miracle of child development, how a single-celled zygote can ultimately develop into a human being who can walk, talk, think, and love. Fathers also derive many important subjective rewards. These include feeling loved, seeing the world through the eyes of their child, vicariously experiencing their joy, seeing their child as an extension of themselves, and even as a chance to start over in life and correct mistakes they had made in their own. Many fathers told me how therapeutic it was to have someone listen to them about their experience as a father. A few men even cried, and those are the interviews that I remember best. The common theme was that becoming a father added great meaning and purpose to their lives. Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoy the book.